This is part two of the Best of Worst of 2014 Spoiler Room. In this episode, we discuss the worst of 2014. If you missed it, make sure you check out part one, where we talk about the best of 2014. And if you want your voice to be heard, check out our new section on specialmarkproductions.com called SMP Forums. Thank you for listening, and enjoy. This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
Let's dive then tonight into our worst of 2014. I know it's getting a little bit late, but so I want each of you to mention your worst film and why, and we're going to start off with Paul. Paul, why don't you give me your worst film of 2014?
Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark.
Oh, no love for Asylum? And what did you not like about this film?
Basically, to me, this was like going to one of those cheap all-you-can-eat buffets. Essentially, you had some expected things that you expected to see. You got some things that you didn't expect to see. And then overall, you kind of like felt guilty that you indulged yourself on this movie at all.
Oh, come on. Now, I actually kind of enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not saying it was a great film, but
that's the problem. It was because you had all these great sci-fi actors. You had basically Christopher Judge. You had Elizabeth Room. I can never pronounce.
Angel Girl. Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course you had Debbie Gibson.
And Debbie Gibson is great.
Debbie Gibson. The amount of times that I had to go and say no. It was like you know the thing that Shia LaBeouf had, you know, in Transformers, where he kept saying no. Exactly. That was me watching that film. It was just and honestly, they actually did jump the shark.
Yes, they did.
It's like no.
Hey, Paul, how did Sharknado 2 compare this one for you?
Actually, Sharknado 2 didn't even... No. Anything with sharks in it, I guess. Especially when a shark goes and like forms like little tires and then starts driving through the city.
Come on!
It's a mecha shark!
This is all preference, you understand.
Exactly.
Paul's just not... It does not dig this stuff. No. A lot of people just don't dig this stuff, and they don't like the Asylum. Me, I eat this shit I was more stoked to see Mecha Shark than most of the big films this year. I'm the guy in my seat that's pumping my fist like, yes, what are you going to do? Oh my God, something even fucking dumber? Yes! But that's my wheelhouse. This is Paul's wheelhouse. That's my wheelhouse.
Asylum Pictures is always... it definitely gets some of those films that just... Wow,
no, dude, amazing. Their sex comedies, though, are awesome, man.
Yeah. Their sex comedies actually managed to put sex in the comedies, thank you very much.
Yeah. Like, they give Troma a run for their money, those guys.
Yeah, they do.
Those movies are surprisingly freaky.
Anyone else have any thoughts with Mecha Shark versus Mega Shark?
I've never seen it.
No,
I'm not surprised.
I enjoyed
it. I'm actually going to watch it now, actually, because you hate it so much.
Tony, it is Debbie Gibson and Elizabeth Rome piloting a robot shark down the street.
Teal kind of motorcycle.
You're right. You're right that they do actually jump the sharks in these movies for real, and there's actually a scene at the beginning of the second movie in the series that gets overlooked, which was, I think it was Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, Mega Shark.
And there's a scene where the shark that is bigger than the aircraft carrier actually jumps over the aircraft carrier. So I'm like, this movie doesn't just jump sharks. The sharks actually jump them.
Yes. Hey, does it kind of have the Sharknado feel to it, where it's like
Asylum's all about. Asylum knows what they're doing. They know they're not making Jaws.
There is no mystery with Asylum. They know exactly what they're making.
It's so weird, too, because they actually started out as a semi-respectable indie company. They were releasing things, and they had a deal with Hollywood Video on VHS back in the 90s, and they released Adrian Shelley's first directorial film, A Sudden Manhattan.
Such a good movie.
They released Christopher Nolan's first film, Following, was released by The Asylum in the United States. A film that I always love, and it always gets – no one ever remembers it because it got almost no release, and it got overshadowed by a Miramax film that had the same title a couple years later. But there's a movie yet called The Big Empty, which is about this guy who wants to be – who's an amateur private detective. It's not the Jon Favreau movie. It's a different movie from 1997. Right. And it's about a guy who wants to be a private detective, and he basically wants to prove that this person he's investigating is not good because he can't stand the fact that there is purity in the world because he's so disgusted by it. It's a great movie.
Dude, here's all you need to know about the Asylum.
That's totally off on a tangent.
Yeah. There's a part in one of those movies where there's a blimp with the Asylum logo on it and a giant snake eats it. That's all you need to know.
Which kind of tells you like the evolution of the company, doesn't it?
Yes. Snakes on a train.
And Brad, how about you? Your worst of 2014?
Lucy tops my list.
Wow. Oh, the pain.
Oh. It's okay, Mark.
No, the scientific premise right off the bat, you only use 10% of your brain. Fuck you. To perpetuate that myth is just really fucking irresponsible and makes me so angry. I sat in the theater and I wanted to punch somebody in the balls.
Hey, Brad, how'd you feel about dolphins being smarter than us?
I would buy that a little bit more. I could swallow that pill slightly, but I was furious. It's an action film. Scarlett Johansson is pretty fun to look at. It's an action film, sure, but that premise made me so – and I'm like, what the fuck is Morgan Freeman doing in this thing?
What was he doing in Dolphin Tale 2?
I don't know. I'm like, I think at this point he's reached the level of having so much money, he's got fuck you money. Basically, he can do anything he wants, show up in any film that he's, you know, any random thing, and people go, why were you in that film? He goes, fuck you. That's why. I've got a lot of money.
I would pay money for that. I would love to see that in an interview. Morgan, why'd you make this movie? Fuck you.
That's why.
My name's Morgan Freeman, and I just fuck Scarlett Johansson afterwards.
Maybe that was the benefit.
More money.
As pure action eye candy, yeah, okay. I'll give you – it was interesting. But I just – that premise right off the bat kind of made me a little angry.
Yeah, and I know it made a lot of people angry. I feel bad about Lucy.
I get that, but we're in Mega Shark territory again. I actually liked Lucy a lot. The reason being is that I was – and it's the exact reason – one of the exact reasons that pissed Brad off quite righteously, too, I understand, is that I'm watching this, and they put so much weird shit into this movie that I did not expect. The whole going back in time, the whole transforming your body, everything like that, stuff that I was not expecting Lucy to go into. I'm like, this is some really wild, like, extra level shit. I'm like, wow. It almost makes you think that this is a smart and complex movie, but then you have to go back and think, no, but in fact, it's actually one of the dumbest movies of the year. That's awesome to me.
You know, but even that from a... Because it wrapped up what happened at the beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So stylistically and from a storytelling aspect, that was a nice bookend to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm more than willing to concede that point. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that made me angry too is it made a good deal of money in the theater, in the box office, which is fine. But for people to say that, you know, we can't have a Wonder Woman movie, we can't have a Black Widow movie, we can't have a female-based action film, you know, again, fuck you. Yes, we can.
Yeah.
This proves absolutely. It. Yes. And you can have
it had to depend on Lucy to decide if we could get more of these female lead movies or not. So, like, don't depend on one movie to decide. We're still going to get more of them no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. It's like when they would always say, well, this one's the – well, we have this guy because he's going to be the Black Secret Agent. Well, why do we need just one? You know? Have a bunch of women in movies. Have a bunch of Black people in movies. Have Asians, Latinos. It's a fucking rainbow out there, people.
And the other thing, too, is for everything that happened in Lucy, there was no gratuitous sex scenes in it. They didn't have to pander to the audience to get people to go see this female-based action film.
Right.
So all the arguments went right out of the window. So it's one of those things where the things that I loved about the movie and the things that I hated, I was very torn about this film, but I had to put it in the worst category because I think it shows the hypocrisy in Hollywood that, you know, we can't have a woman action hero because nobody will go see it. Because you're thinking of Catwoman. That script was absolute garbage. I mean, within the first 5 minutes, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I actually turned to my friend that I went to see, and he had a ticket to see it for free. I paid to see that piece of crap. I turned to him, and I'm like, you owe me a ticket. Because I was very angry about that. But, you know, you keep going back to – God, Sharon Stone in that film. I digress, but it's still tying into this point of you can do it. You can have a smartly written film, not have a whole bunch of TNA in it to try to get people in the seats and still do something that, you know – It wasn't the best script in the world, and the scientific premise, like I said before, was utter horseshit. But
what I'm hearing, Brad, is like, and I would agree with this, is that Hollywood needs to evolve on a lot of levels. It needs to evolve on their scientific understanding of things, but it also needs to evolve in their representation of all the different people out there.
It was like in a horrible way they proved a point that you can have a female-dominated film and get people to – you know what I'm saying? It was worse on a couple of levels.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
no, I get what you're saying. It was worse, but at the same time, they proved something that they were trying to argue against for so long that they still argue against, and you look at Lucy and you go, you got Lucy.
And it can't be done.
And this film was on a scientific shit premise, but – people went to see it, and it was a female-dominated action film that didn't have a lot of sexuality in it, if at all, for the female actors in it. So, no, I understand what you're saying, Brad. It's interesting.
Okay, I was very, very passionate about it, and I wasn't sure I was communicating.
I totally get it. Yeah.
And, Irv, what about you? 2014 films, what was probably your worst?
I'm going to go with... the Elijah Wood, John Cusack movie, Grand Piano.
Oh, wow.
It was that I really didn't...
I've heard about that one.
It really took a lot for me to swallow that movie. Reason being is because throughout the whole freaking movie, all I was thinking about was just stand up and tell everybody. I mean, he's not going to get what he wants if he shoots here or not. So, I mean, I couldn't get past that whole... The whole storyline of it just bugged me. But I kept watching it because I love both those guys. I for me, it was that one, but I'm sure there's a lot out there I've missed this year. So.
See, and that's what's funny is because The Piano was really praised by a lot of people, and I find it interesting that you know, it's also on the worst list for somebody. So I meant to go see it because, again, it was for the actors, but yeah, I mean,
obvious. It's obvious as hell when you watch the movie what's going to happen and what's going on. It was so predictable. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're looking at a suspenseful movie like that where you know people are going to die, you don't want to be able to predict every death and then every movement that's going to happen. You know, John Cusack in general, he's been on the darker side of acting too, so I really like a lot of the movies that he's been in. So, you know, this one was just one of those that just didn't fit the bill for me. You know, yeah. I'd probably watch it again, but for me, it was the worst movie I saw this year. You know, next to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But
sure. But predictability can definitely kill a film. And yes, there is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Andrew, what about you, sir? Worst film for 2014?
First of all, I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay. I love Grand Piano, actually, but I wasn't going to say anything.
No, that's the best part about the show is everybody has a different opinion about those types of things.
That's what I love. That's what I love about this group.
No, actually, what I love about the discussion is that even when we're talking about like the, you know, even that your worst movie of the year, it says a lot about 2014, which is to me one of the best years for movies that I can recall. Since I've been writing about film, since I've been professionally writing about film, I had a hard time narrowing it down to just 10 for a top 10. My original working list was 30. I think it says a lot about 2014, not only that your worst movie of the year, Lucy, was still a movie that you can find great things to say about, which I thought was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I actually had to sit and think for a minute about what was the worst movie that I saw, because unlike years past where I saw something that I could definitely go like, oh, God, puke. You know what I mean? Something that just I felt like it was a complete ripoff. I had to sit and think about it a minute. I had to look at the list of releases for the year. So I know myself pretty well, so I don't usually pick stuff for myself that I can't stand. You know, I usually do, you know, a good job. And that's somebody who sometimes goes to movies just because he knows he has to, you know, he has a deadline to meet. So, but for me, as far as worst movies goes, you know, this year was a year of like singing snowmen. And I believe in that, and talking Legos, I believe in that. Like, I can get on board with that, giant monsters, time-traveling mutants. But the most far-fetched concept that I just could not wrap my head around was a concept of a movie called Sex Tape with Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz. I was like, I'm no, like, IT specialist, but that's not how the freaking cloud works, okay? if you've not heard of Sex Tape or don't know what it's about a couple who gives iPads to all their friends and accidentally uploads themselves having sex to all their friends' iPads and scrambles to get them back. I'm like, never. I'm like, no. Transformers, I could see that happening. This, no.
Lucy, yes.
Well, you know, Lucy, you know, you want to talk about science in movies. You know, a movie that always struck me as bad science, like Jurassic Park, fuck that movie. You could never grow dinosaurs. Pass, I hate it. No, I'm kidding. I believe in Jurassic Park could happen sooner than the stuff in Sex Tape could happen.
Get over here, get near my robotic dick.
Roll out.
Well, you're taking that into a direction I didn't go, Tony. Thank you very much.
Me, Grimlock, like feet.
Right? No, dude, for real. There were some movies that disappointed me that I thought were a waste of my time. I didn't like A Million Ways to Die in the West. Didn't like Neighbors that much. Thought Rose Byrne was the best thing in it. The movie Big Tits Zombie had no zombie with big tits. So there was a lot of stuff that I thought was, like, you know, not that great. But yeah, Sex Tape, love Jason Segel. I'm big Freaks and Geeks fan. Cameron Diaz, I love Bad Teacher. You know, The Sweetest Thing. Like, those are some really rad movies. I'm like, man, y'all, for real? Y'all couldn't come up with a better excuse to have, you know, not any nudity sex in a movie than this concept. I just was like, that's
you see your butt.
That's too much for even
I
me.
You're all about butt. You see Cameron Diaz's butt.
How many times you seen Cameron Diaz's butt, dude? Come on.
I've never seen her butt.
I heard that you actually see Jason Segel's front.
But you've seen that in Sarah Marshall. You gotta
yeah,
have.
Yeah, you saw that already.
I'm just talking about true, like.
It's flapping that around for anybody who'll pay.
Yeah, I'm talking about concept only. I don't enjoy saying bad things about movies. It's not what I do. If I see a movie I don't like, I go and see a movie. I watch more until I find something that I can say something good about. I take no joy in taking movies apart. But, man, Sex Tape, I just was like, all right, I don't think this is very plausible, but I'll watch it anyway. And then when I watched it, I'm like, y'all, come on, man. I'm like, and seriously, like, I Guardians of the Galaxy, there was a raccoon talking and shooting a gun, and that was more realistic than the movie.
I haven't seen Sex Tape, but part of the reason that I didn't was when they announced the concept, being in IT, that is my day job, when they announced what the concept was, I'm like, okay, no, I can't.
But it was a bomb because everybody was like, no way. Like they just didn't, you know.
Doesn't work that way.
I didn't know that. Well, what about the whole thing? I mean, there was the bit where they realized that they had not figured out that you could, and this is a spoiler, guys, for people who haven't watched it, so you can cover yours or whatever. But there was the part where they realized, where somebody just says, you, like, midway through the film, didn't you know that you could just remotely wipe this? I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, is that a thing? Because I mean,
I don't have
Apple products or any of that shit.
I didn't even get that far with it. I was like, look, I'm a white person, okay, and we do not give each other iPads for a gift.
No.
You might win one in a contest. Nobody gives all their friends an iPad.
Well, what got me with the concept alone was the fact that I was like, it's like that commercial. You saw the commercial where they had the guy who sent the wrong email out. He ended up sending it to everybody, and he runs around trying to stop people from seeing the email. Brad will back me up on this. Once you send that, people will have seen it. By the time you get your butt next door to your neighbor who you've given your iPad to, they will most likely have watched or read whatever you sent. So going around trying to collect all your friends' iPads thinking they're not going to see the video, too late.
Okay, like, so I'm not dumb in thinking this was the worst. Too late. But you know
you
what I'm saying?
You uploaded it, and if they are aware of it, if it got any kind of notice, it's been watched. You going around collecting your iPads is not going to stop it. And
they should have called this movie We Think Everybody's Stupid.
Oh my god, I'm going to have to try to erase all my homemade porn from the cloud.
Wow.
If you see a file that says Scotty, Big Sausage 2000, don't open it.
Well, at least it doesn't say Scotty, Little Smokey.
Yeah. No! I'm naming him. I'm going to talk myself up.
You know what I'm saying? So not to say bad things. I don't want to say bad things about it.
Well, no.
I really think they... You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is
right.
If this is the worst movie, it was a pretty good year, because in previous years there's been Argento's Dracula, Texas Chainsaw 3D, et cetera, et cetera. And this was nowhere near some of the worst stuff that I've seen. So,
oh no, I agree, Andrew, and I think everybody here in the spoiler room, we are not a snarky bunch, and we try not to hammer even our worst of films. We do have at least something nice to say about it usually.
Oh no, and there was butts, okay? I'm saying something nice. There was butts.
No, Paul, you said you did. There was the wheels thing you said you mentioned. So
I didn't like the wheels.
But
I did like the actors. Okay, so yes, I like the actors.
You like the actors, so there is something positive.
Paul liked the way that even at about age 50 or whatever, Debbie Gibson is still able to shake her love.
I mean, you just can't shake her love.
Oh my God. Just can't shake her love.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. Scott,
I mean, the fact that Debbie Gibson is still, I mean, you still look at Debbie Gibson and you know what? I mean, I get weak in a glance. Isn't that what's called romance? I mean, seriously.
Oh, God.
No, I mean, you feel the power, you see the energy.
Scott, what was your worst of?
Well, I'm going to agree with Andrew and say that, you know, when I say 2014 was a terrible year for movie, it's because so much was mediocre, And I think even on my worst list, it's not as bad. I agree, it's not as bad as like Texas Chainsaw 3D or Movie 43, which I know some people love, but I hate.
Oh, come on.
See, I know there's always one person. There's always a couple.
I love it. I mean, no, it's better than Movie 42. But
there are a lot of reviewers.
It's better than Matchbox 20. But still.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys in this room are reviewers, and they all go through and they kind of go out and they reach for these types of movies so you can review them. And I'm really selective on the types of movies I'm going to watch, especially on my free time because it's precious time for me. But when I see movies like Movie 43 or you go back and look, I mean, even Grand Piano, I didn't hate it. It's just for me, it was one of the worst movies I saw this year.
Right.
The plot, and I just couldn't get past it. So, I mean,
Someone Mary Berry is cool, and that wasn't on any lists, and I love that movie.
Yeah. I hadn't heard of it, so as soon as you mentioned it, I actually made a looked it up.
Tyler Labine, did you see Cottage Country? That guy is great, man.
I saw Tucker and Dale, so I love it.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
See Cottage Country and Someone Mary Berry.
I'm making a note to see both actually. But anyway, my worst film of the year. I don't want to get a lot of the lists. I think there probably won't be too many people in the group that'll get pissed off at me, but I hope I don't get any listeners pissed off at me. My worst film of the year was God's Not Dead.
Yo.
Or as Pink might call the movie, God's Not Dead, Just Floating. thank God somebody got that fucking joke. I've been saying that for months. Anyway, God's Not Dead. Now, faith-based movies, I still haven't seen a good one. I still have not seen a good one of this crop of faith-based films that have come out. I don't know why, because speaking to myself, and I'll just give the background in case anybody's saying that I'm just going to say this because I'm beating up on religion or whatever, I actually believe in God. I kind of reject a lot of dogma, a lot of structured religion, that kind of stuff, but I do believe in God. But these films always speak to the converted. They're technically very amateurishly done. I mean, Asylum would run circles around these people in filmmaking prowess. I mean, we're talking. I mean, it's amazing. Like, there's sound issues. Their cameras are out of focus. I mean, you have an if you can't figure it out, there's autofocus. Just do it. Lighting is like always garish, you know, it's terrible. And then you have the whole concept of God's Not Dead, which is that this guy who's religious goes to a public university and he's taking a philosophy course and he's told, oh, don't wear your cross in that class because then you're going to get beat up on. Don't say you believe in God because then you're going to get beat up on. And he says it, you know, I know I believe in God. And the guy says, no, you have to reject God in order to be in this class. I'm going to make you prove yourself to this. How dare you? And I'm like, okay, first of all, any public – and we were talking about like not buying concepts of movies. All this guy would do is like say, okay, I'm going to the dean. And telling this person that I realize this is a public forum, but I'm not allowed to express my religious beliefs in a public forum, that's not just illegal, it's unconstitutional. this professor would have been kicked out on his ass years ago for this behavior. But it's this entire thought in there. I mean, there's actually a scene in the film where he goes to see this priest who's in a lot, and this actor is in a lot of the movies. I can't be bothered to look up his name right now, but he's in a lot of the faith-based movies he produces and whatever. Mm. And he's like the nice, happy-go-lucky priest that you go see. And he says, and this is, remember, the public university, there's probably like about 200 or 300 kids in this class because it's like one of those giant auditorium classes. And he says, so out of all the people in your class, how many other people do you think would have encounter God or church at any time elsewhere in their life? None. He says it like no hesitation. I'm like, this is the thing I hate, is that it teaches that education is bad. Education is designed to pull you away from God. Philosophy is designed to pull you away from God. It's not. That's not how college works. It's not how philosophy works. What they might do is they might say, oh, these are your beliefs. I'm going to interject these beliefs, ask for you to defend them, and maybe you will find a way to strengthen your position, or perhaps you will find a new way to think. But the most important thing is that we're teaching critical thinking.
Right.
These films don't view education that way. And it was really patently offensive on so many levels to have people just to have the characters dismiss the personal beliefs of everybody else in the movie. And then you've got all these weird things in the movie. You've got like a family that's like a Muslim family, but ooh, don't tell Dad, I think I might be Christian. You know, I hope I don't get honor killed. You know, it's lots of stuff like that. It was a really upsetting film. It was poorly acted, poorly directed, poorly shot, poorly mic'd. and I hate this because I think that a good film can be made that's not preaching to the converted, no pun intended, that has a faith-based message that could appeal to many people. But you're not going to get it when you dismiss like 99% of your audience. So right. I hated God's Not Dead. I hated everything it stands for.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of bad things about it, and it is a shame they can't make a faith-based movie where it doesn't sound like someone's preaching.
What's that sound?
We're getting run over by ghosts.
I was gonna say
it's not me, is it? Because my area is quiet.
No, I'm not sure where the sound is coming from.
I don't know.
Yeah. Not me, because I'm hanging on Scott's every word as usual.
Well, there are a lot of words there.
It's funny because you're making a lot of excellent points, and you always do religion and stuff like that. And me being from the South, I can definitely sympathize and understand. But I'm sitting here thinking about like when we talk about faith-based movies, I can't help but thinking about like those musicians who. Like some of their fans, they're like, I wish you would just go away type people, like the Madonna fans that come to the show like a virgin, like, dude, no, come on, man, you know I've done better stuff than that, just stop screaming for like a virgin. You know, they got t-shirts that say like a virgin. It's like, go away, man. It's like God's like, I made Stanley Kubrick, could y'all just fuck off?
Oh, God's like, okay, God's like, okay, I was trying to see where you go with that.
Yeah, it's like, don't y'all know about Terrence Malick? Y'all can just eat shit, y'all. Faith, come on, make better movies, man.
It's still not the worst faith-based movie I've ever seen. That movie was CV Dance, which is... I just can't believe
you watch this stuff, dude. That's
I believe in giving it a chance. I give it a chance, absolutely. And
I give the movie a chance too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Has anybody else here
seen the movie? Or
no. I have not. I chose not to. When it showed it.
I've seen it, but yeah, I don't want to say it, but let's just say my opinion's on the opposite side. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, and I hope I didn't really offend anybody here. It's not my intention. It really isn't.
I understand some of the stuff you said, actually. I do understand.
Yeah.
So. One of the things I find funny is I was driving down the road the other day, and I saw a God Dead sticker on a truck, and I had to get right on his ass just to see the word not.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, it's like now you're tempted. Well, that to bumper sticker sounded like he was tempting it just by putting the font so small.
Yeah, it's like I'm sorry I shot your tires out, Hoss. I didn't get close enough to read your sticker.
When you deal with something like religion, especially something with that film, you're right. They could make better films. The thing is, a lot of them are propaganda films preaching the choir because it's being told by one perspective, because it's being made by people with one perspective. And the stuff that I've heard from God's Not Dead, and I haven't watched it myself, but I've heard a number of people talk about how they portray the atheists, or like you said, how they portray the Muslims going, oh my God, I think I'm Christian. You know, some of the portrayals that they do in there for those who think opposite of their view are done so over the top that
it is over the top. It's not the worst it's honestly, and this is more saying like how Muslims are treated in film, it's not the worst I've seen, but it's still pretty out there. Yeah.
Right. And it's sad because there is potential out there if they want to try to spread their opinion. There's different ways they could go about it than making a film that, as you said, is kind of preaching to the choir, because you're just going to turn people off if you demonize someone so severely.
Well, it's weird to be in a commercial medium in a commercial marketplace to be exclusionary, you know?
Right.
Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
But, no, I've heard a number of people say that was a not a really well-made film in general, whether or not it is.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was a – I tried to look to say, like, okay, well, now this did really well in the theater. What is different from this than a lot of the ones that I see that kind of have gone straight to video? And really, there's not much difference in production value at all. It's the same. So
yeah, so
it's too bad. It's a real – and it's unfortunate more than anything else.
It is, because I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of stories out there that they could tell differently, but they don't, unfortunately. They try to use a mallet rather than, you know, some other method.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Tony, what about you, sir? Your worst of 2014?
Okay. All right, I've seen plenty of crap boxes this year.
crap boxes. Here's your new box of crap. I love that.
Well, thank you. And my number one could change because, you know, I still have yet to watch movies like Sex Tape. You know, I'm still going to do my catching up before I make my list. But for now, my number one is going to be Haunted House 2. The Stink Box. Stink box of a masterpiece. And by masterpiece, I mean a disaster piece. I fucking hated this movie. And I know, as a movie critic, I know people say, you know, you don't have to review these movies. You know they're going to be bad. It's all like, yeah, but even if I know it's going to be a spoof movie, even though I'm aware it's going to be bad, you know, I still like to go in because, you know, not just to review it, but I still want to give things a chance. No matter how bad a movie is, I still do try to go see it because I know the amount of hard work it takes, whether it's a lazy cash grab. You know, it's still work to make a movie no matter what the premise is. But, oh my God, this movie. And I didn't like the first one either, but this was worse. This was worse than the first one. It uses a lot of the same fucking jokes from the original. You know, they even reused some of the jokes in the original. Like the original, they used the dog getting a kill joke once. In the sequel, they used that joke twice.
It is a sequel. And,
yeah, and I love animals. So, and I'm not one to easily get offended. But those two times the movie used, oh, the dog just got killed, I'm just all like, are you fucking kidding me? That's like really offensive to me right there because of how much I love dogs. And I am, you know, Marlon Wayans, I could see talent in him. I do see talent in him. But it's just all like, he's really trying way too hard, you know, like. There's a scene where, I'm not joking, he's fucking an Annabelle doll for 2 minutes into the movie. Like, he'd be like, yeah, get your dick near me, babe. Get your dick near me. It's all like, dear God, I could not stand. Just to get to the positive side, I enjoyed seeing Gabriel Iglesias in the movie. He's not in it much. But whenever Fluffy was there, I'm like, okay, at least Fluffy's there. And I laughed maybe 3 times out of the whole movie, maybe 3 times at the very least. But, yeah, other than those positives, A Haunted House 2, you could go fuck yourself. Get this milk. You're a little asshole.
Tony, you totally took one for the team because, I mean, I believe Marlon Wayans can be talented too, but I just don't see it a lot in his movies. Unfortunately, I did hate a dance flick, and once the first Haunted House happened, and I couldn't stand that. I skipped the second one because I couldn't stand the first one. But
and man, I think it's a good thing
my hat goes off to you, man, for taking one for the team.
I know a lot of people who will probably put that on their worst of list. So,
and I agree with what Andrew said earlier. You know, I don't like to trash movies. You know. But if it happens, it happens for a good reason. And a haunted house too. Dear fucking God, it was necessary for me to just trash on it.
I what I like is that you had just as much passion about Interstellar as you did about Passion of Distance for Haunted House 2. And I, you know, I can honestly say I didn't watch them because I'm a big In Living Color fan. Like, I grew up on that stuff. And at a certain point, those guys just, you know, they really started to disappoint me. And I'm like, I know they're smarter than this. I know they're sharper than this. I know they're better than this. But they're trying to stay working in a genre that made them professionally. And I just don't, I don't, I don't know. I feel bad. I'm actually embarrassed for them when I see the trailers for those.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad when because you know the talent is there. I mean,
yeah, I mean Requiem for a Dream, Marlon's, you know, he was good in that movie. Yeah, well, there was a recent movie that I thought he was The Heat. I thought Marlon was good in The Heat.
Yeah,
Yeah, I like The Heat.
So yeah,
he was actually in the movie.
Yeah, it's really weird when you see actors you really like in stuff like that. You know, it just boggles your mind occasionally. Going, what in the script made you think that this was a good idea?
No, you just feel bad for him because you're like, there should be better opportunities.
What makes Hollywood approve movies like that? Like, what made Hollywood go, man, that's a brilliant idea. Let's put this on the big screen. The audiences are gonna love.
Well, if I can speculate, if I can tell you what I think, when you go to see comedies, a lot of the trailers for comedies feature someone getting hurt, someone crashing into something, someone falling. Really, really kicked into high gear with the success of the Fockers movies. Yeah. Those movies are basically a hinge on people in embarrassing situations, you know.
Right.
And so most of the even movies that are actually really good, still the trailers for them, the beats are, the needle drops are people falling. People getting hurt, people slamming into things, or people being caught in embarrassing situations. And, you know, you sit there and you go, like, is the audience really... yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're really laughing at those things. I think, you know, we talk about escapism, we talk about science fiction, we talk about any of that stuff, where people just want to go on the movie coaster. You know, when it comes to comedies, there is this estimation that people just want to sit there and laugh at the goofiest, most base thing. But I don't think that's actually true. I don't think it's true at all. And part of why I'm embarrassed of it, I was like, I know I'm not going to see highbrow. I love Dumb and Dumber too. I thought it was one of the funniest movies of the year. Same thing with Ride Along. I thought Ride Along probably that and We Came Together, probably the best comedies of the year.
Yes.
But
and a lot of people hated Ride Along.
It's Kevin Hart is so freaking funny. He and Ice Cube. I'm sorry.
I still need to. I want to see that movie.
It's one of the funniest. I laughed hard at that movie and often.
It might be the funniest movie I've actually seen this year, to be honest.
Yeah, it's in the top. Like, They Came Together, David Wayne's They Came Together is one of the, it might be close, but yeah, with stuff like Haunted House, you just go like, someone thinks that we think this is good, and everybody that paid any dollar to see that is complicit.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, no, I get your point too, and comedy's a little bit tough, but yeah, some of this stuff, like when you get the next big movie or whatever, you know, the not another epic film or something along that lines, you know, where he had
I think in the trailer from one of those, there was a Hancock parody, and he was drunk, and I was like, that is Hancock. This isn't even parody.
Those were the Freeburg Seltzer films, which are the worst, and they're now straight to video, but they're still making them, goddammit.
Yeah,
and stuff like Dave Movie, Disaster Movie, Meet the Spartans. They were, and Vampires Suck, which some people seem to like for some reason, but I thought it was shit. But their movies were so terrible because, I mean, whereas even in a film as terrible as A Haunted House, I haven't seen the sequel, but as soon as a film is as terrible as A Haunted House or Dance Flick or like some of the Marlon Wayans things, they do jokes that fall flat, but they're actual jokes. All those movies do is point out pop culture.
Right.
Like there's a scene I think in Vampires Suck that says, who are those cool guys over at the table? And it says, oh, that's Snooki and JWoww. No, that's Jersey Shore. Who are those people? Like, well, that's not a joke. That's just pointing out that Jersey Shore is a thing.
Yeah,
there was. I think when people ask me what's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, I always say it's Repossessed, and I say it's Repossessed because they're not even writing jokes. It's kind of like that. They're just recycling and pointing things out. It's nothing, and it's worse because it's Leslie Nielsen, who is hilarious.
Yeah.
And, but my key thing is I just feel very, very embarrassed for the people that are involved.
Linda Blair, too. And the perfect thing for one of those movies is Meet the Spartans when it's a 300 parody. He's meeting Xerxes. Xerxes says, "Wait, I'm a transformer." He turns into a transformer whose chest plays the Leave Britney Alone video. There's no joke there. It's just saying Transformers came out this year. And remember that video that was on YouTube a couple months ago? No one will remember it in 2 years, but remember it was on a couple months ago? There was no joke. It was just pop pointing out pop culture. It was like... it was like if the people from E! Channel decided to like film a parody in their back lot.
A spoof is Airplane. You know, a spoof is Blazing Saddles. So you know, a spoof even is not another teen movie. You know,
or Spaceballs.
But it's there's a whole other category of stuff that's going like, I think you're an idiot. Here's what I think of you, and here's all the money we spent.
It is insulting. Their movies are insulting.
Oh, okay.
So good one, Tony.
Good one, Tony. Definitely a good one. And for me,
thanks, you guys.
It started off in January. January is usually the dumping ground of films, and for me, it started off. I saw it in January. It was Legend of Hercules.
Oh,
the worst film for me this year, and I've watched stuff, and everybody knows, like everybody here, we try not to bash films, and I tried hard. As I'm watching this movie, I'm like, give me something that I can look at and go, well, at least I liked this. And about the only thing I could even possibly come up with was the score, and even that wasn't. But if I had to pick out of a pile of crap, if I had to pick the true crap or the crap with the corn in it, I at least was going to go with the music in this movie. But this movie was so bad. It felt like a tossed-off, forgotten Xena episode. Okay, and I love Xena. Xena is fun.
I was going to say, step lightly, man.
Yeah, Xena's awesome.
But what I'm saying, for a film to get widescreen, the production value of it, and that's what I mean, is I'm not trying to slam Xena. I'm trying to say that style or that production value in those TV shows, which were on a lower budget, it felt like I was watching one of those, but done poorly. I mean, the acting, I don't know what they were trying to go for. They're trying to do a modern mythology feel mixed with true mythology, but none of it worked. The CGI was awful. There is a lion scene, the lion scene where Hercules fights the lion, that my kid, I think, rendered a better video of that on his computer versus the way that lion looked. It looked awful for a big screen film like this. It looked like just total crap, and I'm like, oh, please get better, and it doesn't. And then at the end, he literally pulls out the blazing sword. I'm going to ruin the ending for you guys because I don't want you to see it.
We weren't going to.
I actually have the movie here, and it's been staring me down, Hercules, but I'm like, I haven't been able to pull the trigger on it.
Hercules gets to a point where he gets surrounded by the bad guys. They're outnumbered, and Hercules is there. He holds aloft his magic sword and says, "Zeus, help me." It turns into this electrical lightning bolt shooting sword
whip. Oh, yeah.
And he swings the whip around and it ignores all of his guys. But by God, it kills all the bad guys. It was like G.I. Joe and He-Man combined. It was like...
They might not be familiar with any Hercules, but somebody on set played God of War before.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I actually kind of enjoyed that scene. I don't know why.
Well, because something happened. And it's like they put their entire budget into that one effect for the sword. But this entire film, I'm like, I came out of it going, wow, I really couldn't find any really redeeming quality about this movie, and I tried. And I have watched other poor films, don't get me wrong, but out of the full entire year for 2014, there was a standard, and I was like, okay, is this worse than Legend of Hercules? And even on the bad movies that I watched, they still weren't quite as bad as Legend of Hercules. It could have been something, and it was not. And I couldn't believe it's one of those films, and especially being a supporter of indie films, and I'm sure a number of you feel, I watch films like this that have a big budget, and yet I see really good indie films that struggle to do a really good production value. They got a great story and everything, but they can't get wide release distribution to save their soul, much less be put on a big screen. And you've got those films struggling, yet you get crap like Legend of Hercules. You get crap like Haunted House 2. You get like some of these other films mentioned tonight that are in the worst of that get made. And you're like, you get frustrated because there's no fairness in it, you know? And for me...
Sorry, go ahead, yeah.
And just for me, Legend of Hercules was my worst of the year. Even worse than I, Frankenstein, I personally got a kick out of.
I actually didn't mind that movie, honestly.
I got a kick out of I, Frankenstein for a number of things in it. I thought it was at least better than Legend of Hercules. I even enjoyed, and I don't like Paranormal Activity movies. I liked most of Paranormal Activity's, the marked ones, up until the last 15 minutes of that dang movie, which where they tried to connect it back to the original. I was enjoying that. But for me, the worst was Legend of Hercules, and I don't know if any of you seen it, but for me, it left a bad scar in my head the entire year. And
no, I had to do a. They asked me to do a biggest holiday hits and biggest holiday flops article for work, and so I listed like the top three highest grossing holiday releases of all time in the bottom three. And one of the bottom three was Cutthroat Island by Rennie Harlan, who is the director of the movie that we're talking about here. And I was just like thinking, like, Rennie Harlan, man, there's a guy who made some great movies, which I include Ford Fairlane and Long Kiss Goodnight in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was just like thinking, you imagine the Rennie Harlan going like, okay, I'm going to make Hercules movie. They're like, yeah, but dude, we just made one with The Rock. What? you're kidding me. I make Freddy movie where they pee and turn him alive. Yeah. No, man, seriously, they just made one, another Hercules. Well, maybe Mark from Wisconsin will like it. Actually, no, dude, he hated it. Damn.
Damn you, Mark!
You are my only chance for redemption.
I'm sorry, and
Help me, Mark the Movie Man, you're my only hope.
Mark, if you do not understand me, no one does.
And I feel bad.
I am not sending you VCR. I send you a towel.
I know.
Screams out of nowhere like that.
Most of these are towels.
Rocks Hercules.
I didn't see that one either. But it is depressing to see what happened to Rennie Harlan, because I think Ford Fairlane, Prison, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, I actually liked Cutthroat Island, and
it's not that bad. It was just a little ahead of its time.
It was way ahead of its time.
It came before the pirate craze.
When Pirates of the Caribbean came out, I told people, I'm like, I liked Cutthroat Island more. I stand by that. But I mean, Cliffhanger was a good. I liked but. Yeah, it's so depressing because he's been in kind of a wilderness for a number of years. He did 12. I didn't think 12 Rounds was very good. Covenant was terrible. And I'm like, oh, Rennie, because he can do a good movie. What's frustrating about it. You know he can do a good movie, and I know he's still got a good one in him. I don't know if he intends them to be good, and they kind of get away from him, or they get taken away from him, or he just fumbles the ball, but he's capable, and it really hurts to see it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was tough for me. And it's bad because I know I may have rated a few movies a little bit lesser than I rated this one, I think. There might be one or two. But for 2014, that one would just stuck out for me as the worst. And it was because, you know, Renny Harlin, I know he could do good. And I'm watching this going, I can't believe they actually didn't put this direct to video. You know, I'm like sitting here going, this really deserves...
They spent $70 million on that. I looked it up while you were talking.
There's no way I made 70 back. There's no way.
No, 18 according
to... It felt like a theatrical release then, Legend of Hercules.
It looks, according to the IMDb anyway, I'm not looking at Box Office Mojo or anything, but I'm looking at IMDb, and they're saying $70 million budget that doesn't include advertising or anything, and $18 million gross.
Yeah, that's...
It's amazing that it made 18. Part of that was Mark's money, too.
Part of that was January, son.
That was before I had my movie pass, so I
didn't
that. So, I think it shows, though, I will say one thing about 2014. Out of recent movie years, I unfortunately have to agree to disagree with Paul, that there are a lot of mediocre films. What I liked about 2014 is there seemed to be a number of films that at least took chances this year, more so than we've seen in a number of previous years. Wide release films that are taking chances, not so much indie. I mean, indie's always taking chance, but films that got wide release or more than a limited release that took chances and were trying to at least do something different, because they know the 2015-2016 onslaught is coming. And it just, I liked this year.
Yeah, we're getting close to the middle of the decade.
Yeah, you know, I liked this year quite a bit for the different stuff. I mean, I mentioned some of them already, Maleficent. There was a film that came out that felt really noir style with Liam Neeson, which was
A Walk Among the Tombstones.
That just came out on VOD, and I want to see it really bad.
A Walk Among the Tombstones wasn't my favorite of the year, but it was a solid noir-type film set before computers were huge. So you have a PI who actually has to pound pavement and do research, and computers are just hitting – they're just getting to the – it's set just before the Y2K thing. And I love the fact that they set it during that time, and it was a noir film. But you also had, you know, everybody raved about Gone Girl. And while I did enjoy Gone Girl, I'm like, anyone who grew up in the 90s has seen the thriller like that type of film. So, you know, for me...
That's what I'm watching tonight, actually.
You know, it wasn't horrible by any means. Don't get me wrong. It was a well-made film. I just didn't see what the huge hype was, because I'm like, we've had films come before this that did it just as good. You know,
it's just like Boyhood is, you know, that was a good gimmick, but like We Are the Best is a movie about young girls, and I'd much rather see a movie about girls than about a boy.
Right.
Yeah, girls were from punk rock too.
But I mean, there's another film that came out called Edge of Tomorrow, which didn't do well at the box office opening.
That was a great movie.
But it was a good movie. Yeah,
it was a
good movie. I like that.
It was a blast. It was different. And it stayed in the theaters a lot longer than some of your big blockbuster films, because word of mouth got around for that. But, I mean, you had films like that. You had Fury, someone trying to do a somewhat a serious army film, which was one of my big favorite films of this year that I know a number of people didn't exactly care for. I loved Fury. You know, I liked 2014 because it felt like people were taking chances and not just relying on old franchises like we've got coming up for 2015 and 2016.
We've got a lot of franchises.
We've got a lot. You know, and so for me, that's what I take away from 2014. No, it wasn't a huge amount of just, oh my God, films, but there were a lot of films like, this is interesting. This is different. This is something outside of the normal cookie cutter formula we've been getting. And you've gotten a number of films like that, especially near the tail end of 2014, which unfortunately didn't get as wide release as I hope. But still, that's what I enjoyed about 2014. So it's getting pretty late. I don't want to keep you guys in here longer than you want to be here. So why don't we wrap it up for tonight? And Irv, why don't you tell us where you can find you at?
I guess all over the internet, so you can check out DicksInsiderShow.com or go to PodGodsNetwork.com. Listen to all the great podcasts there, and make sure you check in Movie Mark stuff. Everyone else is here.
And Brad, what about you, sir?
You can check out the Sci-Fi Geeks Club podcast, Alien Invasion podcast at GalacticNetcasts.com.
Awesome. And Mr. Andrew Shearer.
Oh, if you like butts, you can. I have movies on Amazon on demand that feature several awesome ones, such titles as Pajama Nightmare, Mondo Gonzo, and Fake Blood, available to rent very cheap. Please do.
Yes, yeah, they don't cost that much, and you'll be very entertained.
Butts.
There's definitely butts. Paul.
No butts at my. Well, except the word.
No ifs, ands, or beholds.
Yes. Of course, filmreviews.wordpress.com.
What was it again? I'm sorry, I think it cut out there.
Forsakenfilmreviews.wordpress.com.
Awesome. And Scott Davis, go.
Well, you can catch me at movieocrity.com. That's where I write all my reviews and link to all the podcasts and the shows I do and everything. If you want to go right to the original web series of Movieocrity, you can go to vimeo.com/channels/movieocrity and have a blast with those. Apparently, we're getting some write-ups, which I just found out while we were doing this show. So
awesome.
I'm a little taken aback by that right now.
That's awesome. And Mr. Tiger Power himself, Tony Estrada, go.
Well, very quick, I just want to say, Andrew, call me whenever the butt party starts.
Rock and roll, here it is right now, playa.
Butt bongo bonanza.
If you believe in butts after butts.
Butt bongos 2, starring Matthew McConaughey. Anyway.
All right.
That's what I like about these high school butts, man. I get older and they stay y'all butts.
They stay butts.
Oh, man. You can find me at youtube.com/22tigerdude, facebook.com/22tigerdude. Give it a like. Follow me at Twitter at tigerdude22, and follow me at Instagram at 22tigerdude. And be sure to check out the spoiler room and everyone here because you all are great, and I look forward to seeing what 2015 will bring us. Happy New Year, you guys.
Indeed.
Flat out.
I do have some plans for 2015. We're going to hopefully do more of these. Hopefully no one gets tired of listening to them. I appreciate everybody giving us the support for 2014. It's been a great year. We've done a lot of these spoiler rooms, and people keep listening, so we must be doing something, right? If you want to catch anything of my stuff, go to specialmarkproductions.com, where I got links to all these wonderful people who decide to talk movies with me, and you can also find our archive of our podcasts there, or you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and my Wheel of Film playlist there as well for all the stuff that I do for wheeloffilm.com. Thank you all these fine folks for joining us tonight and going down memory lane for 2014. 2015 does prove to be the big year where people need to take mortgages out to see every film they want to see at the theater, since there'll be like a tentpole movie every weekend starting in the year. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to having more in-depth discussions about those films with you folks. And I hope you listeners have enjoyed our discussions. Thank you for listening. And as always with the spoiler room, the conversations are fresh, but we do spoil the movies.